Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
It's Retro Friday, AI Automa time, and all the way back to the 30th of November 2009, and oh my god, the Thrilling Three are in this one. I can't wait for that. I don't know if Tiny Andrew Collins is in it yet. I haven't listened back. I wouldn't dare. Thanks for supporting this. If just by listening to these podcasts, you're raising funds for the Heckle the Virus campaign and also for the cast, who we never paid at the time, so, and who are all pretty much out of work right now. So that will be very helpful to them. And it's nice to finally pay them for all the work they did for me. I'm sitting in my mansion built on AI Automa billions. So it's fair enough, isn't it, that we get to hear them. Listen to me and watch me on twitch.tv/RKHerring. I'm doing stone clearing. I'm doing snooker. I'm doing a Sunday evening watch along a film as I commentate on it. I'm doing Rahula Stapot on Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m. and playing video games like Civilization 2 and stuff when I get the time. There's lots there. You can check out old ones in the video section. twitch.tv/RKHerring, and if you're an Amazon Prime member, you can give me £5 every month for free by linking your accounts and then subscribing via that option in the subscription thing. There's a video on YouTube, Herring1967, if you get confused. Let's sit back, relax, and enjoy A Very Old As It Occurs to Me and The Thrilling Three.
As it occurs to me, as it occurs to me, as it occurs to me.
And please welcome the man it's all occurred to, time traveller Sam Beckett from Quantum Leap, inside the body of Richard Herring.
Oh yes, hello. Thank you. Thanks for all coming. Thanks for coming. It's lovely to see you all. Lovely to be here. Welcome to the show that all the king's horses, but only five of the king's men, are calling AI Automa. And if you were listening last time, you'll know that at the end of show 7, Sam Beckett from Quantum Leap had leapt into my body to attempt to prevent me from killing myself.
Sam, it's me, Al. We've made it to the 8th show. I can't understand why you haven't jumped yet. Ziggy says, boop, 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 boop. He doesn't have a fucking clue either. Well, that is unusual to see him using that language. I just don't know what's going on here.
Save your breath, Dean Stockwell. Sam isn't here. He's not in here anymore.
He isn't?
Well, in a manner of speaking, he is. Scott Bakula is still deep inside me. Grow up. Be like me and be mature. But he is dead.
Dead? But Ziggy says... Beep, beep, beep,
shut up, there is no Ziggy. That's just you going... Beep, 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 beep. So you're quite good at that. It's quite hard. Sam Beckett's soul committed suicide last Tuesday, overwhelmed by the idea that he had to write up to an hour's worth of new material about what had happened to him this week and then record it live at the Leicester Square Theatre in front of an audience that would make a sci-fi convention crowd look normal and well-adjusted. And then put it out on the internet completely unedited, so every fuck-up and failed joke was preserved for all time. So I had to do it myself as usual. But now, encumbered with the dead soul of Scott Bakula rattling around inside me, which is an annoyance. Listen to this. Yeah, that's me. That's me spinning my stomach around. Getting up some speed there. You should be able to hear Scott, Sam Beckett's decay. There it is. That's his decaying psychic being. Clanking around there, it's against my ribs. They're surprisingly metallic, aren't they, dead souls? They're kind of time travellers. That's what they sound like. It's there, he's gone now. You should be that's an impressive sound effect. It was hard to source the dead soul of Scott Bakula rattling around inside a fat man's swithering stomach. That's not easy to get. If it had been the dead soul of Scott Bio in a fat man's swithering stomach, that's a different story. There's hundreds of those on the internet, but it took me all week just to find that sound effect.
Oh, dear. This is awful. Sam's dead soul is trapped inside you. Can you just poo him out or something?
No, I cannot, Dean Stockwell. It's the metaphysical representation of a respected actor playing a character from an increasingly mawkish sci-fi series. Not a piece of fecal matter. You can't just poo out a sacred soul. The dead soul of Scott Bakula will be with me for the rest of my life. A bit like when those people find the fetus of their unborn twin kind of ingested into their own body. It's similar. Anyway, a fat lot of help you two turned out to be with the script.
But what will become of me?
You don't have to worry. Give me Ziggy a minute.
There you go.
Beep, boop, 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 boop. Once, apparently Ziggy says, once Quantum Leap grinds itself into the ground, you get to be in Battlestar Galactica, which is a much cooler show, I have to say. And kudos to you for managing to get an oh boy in when your fucking Saul Ties misses. That was very impressive.
Yeah. That was funny, yeah. I tried to get a beep, boop, boop, boop in too, but, they cut it out. They also cut out when I said, Ziggy says there's a 90% chance I'll come on your tits.
Good. Well, that has used up some time. Here's some things that have occurred to me this week.
Monday.
Last weekend, I was back in Cheddar performing the last ever show of The Headmaster's Son, which was sort of set in the school. I performed it at the school. And there's a part of that show where I talk about my biology teacher. Me and my friends, when we were at school, she was a very nice teacher, and she was a very good teacher, but she was a bit meek and mild, and you could take the piss, and we really did. Every time in the lessons when she said the word mitosis, which she had to say quite a lot, she was a biology teacher, we'd say, "You're what?" Just every single time. Every time she said mitosis or meiosis, whichever the other one is, we'd say, "You're what?" It's the same joke, but it's still good. Every time she said hormone, we'd say, "Don't pay her." It was that kind of thing. And I felt kind of guilty about this, and in the show I apologised. But it was only till later, my nephew, who's 16 years younger than me, reminded me that once he'd gone through the school system some good time after me, he'd also gotten to Miss Button's class. And I apparently, I'd forgotten this, but I told him to say, every time she said mitosis... To say, so like a decade and a half later, she must have just been recovering from the terrible things that I'd done to her mental health, and then another child comes through. It's this echo through time. So I'd just like to apologise. If you're listening, Miss Button, and let's face it, she won't be listening to this. But I'd just like to say sorry for bullying you through time. Next
Friday.
I went to see Jim Carrey's A Christmas Carol in 3D at the IMAX. I've seen a lot of films based on this slightly smug and sanctimonious story. My favourite is the Muppet Christmas Carol. That is unbeatable. I think most of Dickens' stories would be improved by the addition of a few Muppets. I think that is a... But it's a rule of thumb that any version of A Christmas Carol that leaves you hoping that Tiny Tim will die is not a good one. In the Jim Carrey one, I not only thought that, I was actually hopeful that as Scrooge was carrying Tiny Tim shoulder high at the end of the film, he would then throw the tiny crippled boy to the floor and stamp on his head, shouting, "I was only pretending to love Christmas so I could ensure your death definitely happened." And Tiny Tim's brains could have flown out towards the audience in 3D. That would have been a better end to that film for me.
Friday.
I was disappointed also that when they gave us the special 3D glasses as we went into the cinema, they took them off us straight away as we left as well. So we got no time having them outside of the cinema. I was wondering if this, because the glasses aren't actually 3D glasses at all, but actually plus 1D glasses, and we'll just add another dimension on top of whatever you happen to be looking at. So when you're looking at a 2D screen, they add one dimension to make it 3D. But if you take them out into the real world, then you get a plus one on top of three dimensions. You can see the fourth dimension, be able to see the workings of time, presumably everything that's ever happened in the place that you're standing. It'd been good. I was hoping that would happen. No wonder the staff are so keen to get those glasses off you at the end. I am not mental. Please welcome the cast of AI Otima. Who act as minus 1D spectacles, taking away a dimension from all objects and sucking the joy out of life like a black hole that eats fun. It's Dan Tetzel, TV's Emma Kennedy, and on the guitar, Christian Riley.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, it should be TV's Dan Tetzel, because of course you're on Miranda this week. Apparently,
yes,
I don't watch it myself.
I was a naval officer. Then.
Apparently, children like it. So,
you get paid.
What's occurred to you this week, Dan?
This week, on Sunday, I offered my child up to the Church of Rome.
That's a dangerous thing to do.
Yeah, again, I know. Yeah, against my better. My partner is a Catholic. I'm not. But then I thought, you know, it would be churlish of me to deny her this sop. To her feelings, just because I could. You know, I'm not Robin Ince. I'm not hardline about it. So I said, yeah, we'll have a christening as long as I don't have to do anything. So we had a christening. I didn't do anything, really. Though I did, after the church, the perfectly nice vicar, Barry, Father Barry, I don't know, I'm not a Catholic, as I say, came round and he dipped some oil on her head or something, you know, chicken blood or some voodoo. I don't know. You know, it's all the Pope was there. I don't really understand it, you know, and then it's a bit like Temple of Doom. I don't know if you've seen that, the bit where the rom rom. It's a bit like that. I whispered in my little baby Amy's ear, I said, "And that's the last time a priest touches you." It made me laugh a lot. And then I did, for the reception afterwards, I put together a playlist of sarcastic anti-Christian songs. Really, really. Very childish, and don't clap, it's really pathetic.
What a wonderful... How come we weren't the godparents of that?
I don't actually recall even being invited, do you, Richard?
We're not really that close.
How much would it...
I see you once a week.
How much would I have to pay to buy your daughter's hand in marriage for 16 years in the future?
Right, well...
How much would you be willing to take for that?
It has crossed my mind, banning her ever going to the Edinburgh Festival as a student, because, you know, you'll still be active. But all I can do is hope to bring her up with enough self-esteem to fall outside your remit.
You could make some good money. What's happened to you, Christy you?
I've finished a humorous song. Can I play it?
Yes, you can play a song.
Joe, I said, where you going with that gun in your hand? I'm going down to shoot my old lady. You know I caught her messing around with a... What the fuck is that in your hand? Is that a notebook? What are you doing with a notebook? Hey, Joe, I'm writing everything you say down. I'm going to turn it into a song and sing it later. Hey, I just told you I'm going to kill my wife and you're putting in a... Shouldn't you be trying to talk me out of it? You should kill her. This is going to be great publicity for the song. Jesus, you're an evil piece of shit. You know, haven't you stopped to think that, like, you know, maybe my wife shows up shot to bits and, like, you know, in a, this song's going to be tantamount to a confession, really, isn't it? It's going to put a strain on our relationship. Can you do me a favor? You know, well, just ask her. How about, you know, when you sing the song, you know, just change my name and the murder weapon. Sounds good to me, OJ. It's topical.
Christian Riley there, That's what's happened to him this week. Has anything occurred to you, Emma, this week?
Yeah,
have you written a song about it?
No, I haven't written a song.
I'm not interested if it's not in song form.
It's not in song form.
No, I'm not interested anymore. What's happened?
I've had quite a busy week. I did a photo shoot, had a film star in my bed this week. But I had the best thing that happened to me was a rather embarrassing incident.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have a postman who comes very early in the morning. Are any of you lucky enough to have that experience still? Well, mine comes sort of a slightly ungodly hour, and there's often sort of like little parcels and things that come for me, and I was at that difficult moment in the morning where you haven't quite got any clothes on, and you might have just finished doing stuff in the bathroom, or you might be in the middle of doing stuff in the bathroom, and the doorbell rings, and so you know you get a bit of a panic on, don't you? And I was a little bit discombobulated, and I sort of thought, oh shit! And I ran into my room and just sort of pulled on this just pair of trousers that I just saw, and went to the front door. My hair was sort of out here. And he said, oh, can you sign for this, please? And I started signing, and then I realised that my postman had sort of gone a little bit ashen, and he was just sort of staring down at my feet, and a pair of pants were hanging out the bottom of my trousers.
Skid marks?
There's a few.
That's very nice. Well, of course, last week's show, we did promise that we would have
full sexual intercourse.
The place. So it's quite.
Oh dear!
I hope you brought this. Quite a lot of people in. I will have to get the figures through. Have you brought any vaginal lubrication with you? Because we will.
Well, it's funny you say that because I thought that this moment would come, and obviously because we have the arrangement whereby we can't really ever have sex with each other unless Rohypnol is involved. Yeah. And so I took the precaution of going to a lube factory where I basically just lay on my back and they just shot cannons of lube up my vagina for every day, like, you know, 10 hours a day for every day since last Monday.
Yeah, 7 days.
And then, you know, I thought that would be enough, but I took one look at you this evening and it was like my vagina just desiccated on the spot, to the point that I'm actually farting dust out of my fanny.
It's all right, now, you can go up the arse, so it's fine.
Okay. So,
bit of.
So I'm, you know, I'm glad
butter.
That we haven't quite sold out.
This is why you're not godparents.
I've always wanted to do an advert for I Can't Believe It's Not Butter that does Last Tango in Paris with Marlon Brando kind of going.
Yeah, nice.
I can't believe it's not.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Anyway, last week... Last week, after being bowled over by Peter Kay's generosity and self-serving greed in offering to give children in need £1 for every piece of merchandise he sold, I made my own offer to donate 3 new pence for every one of my DVDs sold this week from www.gofasterstripe.com. 25,000 people download this show every week, unbelievably. If they all bought just one DVD, that would have made an incredible £750 for children in need and just £124,250 for me. TV's Emma Kennedy has the final figure. I'm in a lot of suspense. What have you got for us?
This week, Rich, Peter Kay's Children in Need song sold 140,000 copies, ooh, raising hundreds of thousands of pounds for charity.
I'd imagine if I just sold about half that amount, I'll be rich. Mm. I mean, Children in Need will get quite a lot of money, which would be good.
Well, you, Richard Herring, this week sold, wait for it, 38 DVDs, making a grand total of £1.14 that will be winging its way to Children in Need, and a not inconsiderable profit of £188.86 to you.
Well, that's not too bad, actually. I'd say that's about 16 more DVDs than I usually sell in a week, so that's pretty good news. The money raised will go to charity, so that's good. And I've printed up a giant novelty cheque for £1.14 for Children in Need, which I'll be posting to them. It costs £40 to make. It's going to cost another £10 to send it. Those costs, of course, will come out of the total raised. So, by my reckoning, Children in Need owe me, let's call it £40. I'll be taking that money in instalments from any needy children that I happen to see, either in cash or sweets, or if they're quite annoying children, I'll just pull them to the floor and dash them on the ground, sending their brains spiralling across the floor.
As it occurs to me, feed Richard Herring. Does he know it's Christmas time? It makes no difference. He eats like it's Christmas every day.
I have a turkey every day on my own. I wish it could be Christmas every day, because my only paid job this year has been working as a Father Christmas in a department store grotto. I wish it was the week before Christmas every week, because, of course, I don't work on Christmas Day, so that falls apart. Anyway, now time for another celebrity endorsement.
Hello, it's me, Tiger Woods. I get paid millions of dollars for hitting a small ball round with a stick. It's a pretty sweet deal, isn't it? I don't know why any of you do any proper work. You get away with that. Just do that. It's brilliant. Anywho, there's been a lot of speculation about how I managed to crash my car into a tree and a fire hydrant outside my own house. Well, it wasn't rowing with my wife over reports of an affair, or because she was complaining that I spend all day at the golf course. It was because I was listening to episode 7 of AI Otomer and laughing so hard at Dan Tetzel's brilliant impression of the comparethemeerkat.com meerkat. And I lost control of the car, because I found it hilarious. Even though we don't have that advert in America and there's no way I can understand what's going on. So, when he said thimbles, I laughed so hard that I forgot how to operate a car. And that's what really happened.
Anyway, let's see what else has occurred to me this week.
Tuesday.
Well, pretty much nothing has occurred to me this week, I have to say. At last, after a hectic few weeks, I got a day off on Tuesday. In fact, aside from doing a Collins and Herring podcast and a couple of live gigs, I haven't done anything at all this week. At last, I'd get a chance to properly prepare for AI Otomer. Too slow. And not have to end up writing on Monday morning as usual. But on Tuesday, I relaxed. I watched Battlestar Galactica, played Countdown on my DS. I did that on Wednesday too, and on Friday and Saturday and most of Sunday, leaving all of the writing of AI Otomer until Monday again as usual. But now, with the added disadvantage that nothing had really happened to me at all. I'd nothing to write about apart from Battlestar Galactica and Countdown, which I've really covered already. I hadn't even looked at the newspapers, really. I've realised that the main good thing about doing that Russell Howard job was that someone just told me what the main things that happened this week were that I could just then write about. So, yeah, it's pretty much the end of the show. It's been fun. It's been ridiculous how much Battlestar Galactica I've watched this week. I think I've been watching about 10 episodes a day, which is unhealthy, because it can adversely affect your mental health. If you get too involved in a box set like this, I think, you know, we're watching it for more than 5 hours a day. I've started to think that people I know in real life might be Cylons. I'm wondering if I should just be on the safe side, stab them in the neck with a homemade shiv to ensure they don't wipe out the human race. You know, as a comedian, I'm constantly flirting with mental illness, dancing around the precipice of insanity, pretending I'm crazy for your entertainment. Yet I'm ever fearful that one day I might actually trip over, fall into the abyss of the deranged. A few months ago, I saw a homeless man walking along a tube platform and just following a perfectly innocent, respectable middle-aged woman who hadn't done anything. He was shouting,
"You stupid fucking bitch! You fucking whore! You fucking bitch!"
And I thought, that's just essentially what I do for my job. That's how I make him. I get drunk, as drunk as him is, he is probably worse, and then just shout at people. The only difference between me and him is that then I go home. I've got a home to go to. Otherwise, we're identical. What if it all genuinely falls apart for me? It's something I've really always worried about. And it's something I discussed this week with my friends Richard and Carol as I played Countdown on the toilet.
And it's me, Richard Whiteley. Yes, my voice has changed a bit, but then I've been dead for 4 years. Welcome back to Countdown, where current champion Richard Herring is trout in front.
Trout, because it's a kind of fish like my name.
He's certainly not floundering.
Oh, good, because a flounder's also a fish. Yes, good.
Though our audience seem to think he's a bit of a cunt.
Is that a fish?
Yeah, it's the cunt fish. He leads 54 points to 4. Very impressive, isn't it, Carol?
Yes, Richard, it is. Even though that is mainly because he has the game set to amateur level, where you can pretty much only lose if you only come up with one-letter words.
That is a bit tragic.
No, I'm just trying to get all the rewards on each level. You get a little imaginary rosette if you get through every round undefeated. So I'm trying to get that. I've played on the amateur level about 50 times and still haven't managed to do that, which is embarrassing, but...
No, you're right, that makes it less sad.
It's very hard doing it, because you've got to do the numbers as well, sometimes they're difficult. Anyway, Carol and Richard, you're my friends, right?
Yes, you're only friends.
Yeah. I was just worrying that I might be losing it a bit, that there's a danger that by spending so much time alone watching DVDs and pretending I'm in Countdown whilst coping with the pressure of having to write a whole new show every week like some kind of latter-day Spike Milligan, it might genuinely drive me insane.
Well, it might take the pressure off a bit if you just basically repeat the same sketches each week.
This is different than the...
No, it's not.
But really, it's a kind of a cool... callback to last week, so kind
it's
of...
It's pretty much the same.
It's a different sketch, I think.
It's
a callback.
Well, it's not. Okay. Anyway, Rich, do you think the best people to discuss your mental problems with are two imaginary characters that you've created and talked to when you're playing a video game whilst doing a shit?
That's the thing, Carol. Oh, sorry. You two are the best people to talk to, because everyone else will probably assume that when I tell them that about my funny imaginary conversations, that it's just a silly joke, that I'm pretending to be insane for comedic purposes. Only you and Richard Whiteley know that this conversation actually really happened. I truly have been driven mad, and so only you can help me.
No, it's all right, Rich. Calm down. Luckily for you, I'm marketing some magic beans that cure all mental illness. You have to take 5 a day, and they're only £4,000 per bean.
Well, it seems an awful lot of money, Carol, but I trust you because you're a maths whiz and you're on Countdown. Yes. You've built up that trust over many years, so I'll happily give you that money.
Oh, and the beans are invisible.
Invisible? I'm not paying £4,000 for an invisible bean. I'm an idiot.
Well, not invisible exactly, but only very clever people can see them.
Oh, right, yeah, oh no, that bean, yeah, I see that. Yeah. What a delicious looking green, yellowy, red.
It's orange.
Orange, yeah. Bean, that is. I'll just eat it now. Nom, nom, nom. I see it all. Yeah, no, I'm better, I'm not mad at all. And I see it all now. Whiteley is a Cylon. I must kill him. Take that, Whiteley.
Knife to meet you, Rich.
Knife, I guess, because I'm stabbing you with a knife.
I seem to have a stabbing pain in my chest.
Yeah, you literally, it's a stabbing pain.
You kill me, Richard Herring.
Shut up, Whiteley. Stop making puns when I'm trying to kill you. It's putting me off. Don't you know if you kill someone once they're dead, then they're gone forever? It's a lesson I taught Michael Jackson. And now you're going to... That's a callback to show 3. Yeah. Now you're going to learn it too.
But Richard Whiteley's dead. Double dead. And 2 times nothing equals nothing. He wasn't a Cylon, Rich. But I am.
No!
Hi, and it's me, Des Lynam. Stepping into the dead man's shoes. Now it's time for the numbers round.
Can I have two from the top and any other four, please, Carol? Yeah, that's right. That was the end of that sketch.
As it occurs to me, Richard Herring has a comedy technique. He says something unfunny, gives a little laugh and then pauses, thereby heavily implying other people should laugh too, because people feel sorry for him when they realize he's slightly begging. They laugh out of pure pity. He's built an entire career around it. Just not a very good career. And he looks like Charlie Borman from Long Way Round.
Thank you. That sting comes courtesy of disgruntled listener, or possibly gruntled listener, who's just trying to get on the podcast. It's hard to tell now. We've opened this up. Pope Innocent XI sent that one into iTunes. I hope Pope Innocent XI isn't right about that, though. It would be awful to think I've built a career, though not a very good one, around the audience feeling pity for me. Just that would be quite a mate, just by begging for laughter. Is that what? Am I a laughter beggar? Is that what I am? Was that laugh a genuine laugh, or did you just see the sadness in my eyes, the emptiness in my soul, now admittedly partially filled with the dead soul of Scott Bakula, which is probably worse than having an empty soul, to have a dead Scott Bakula in your soul space. Anyway, I was sad that those remarks came from Pope Innocent XI, who I've always admired for his parsimony, his zeal as a reformer of manners and a corrector of administrative abuses. Had it been one of the Pope bony faces, I wouldn't have been so hurt. That's right, it's a reincorporation from the first series of Tutotin from 2004 that very few people understood. There's a lot. You've got to study quite hard to get everything in this show so well. See if you can keep up with everything else that's coming. It's going to be tricky for you.
Thursday.
On Thursday, I recorded my 90-second podcast with the ever-popular fucking idiot Andrew Collings. If you don't already listen to the Collings and Herring podcast, then you really should, because this week especially, it was quite a good one. We chanced across a notebook with the first stories I ever wrote in it, including The Man That Could Fly, The Man Who Was Never Born, and the classic, the now classic, The Four Men Fight the Men of Fies. Yeah, I see a lot of fans of that one here tonight. But the stories read out in the podcast were all early and immature works from the 6, 7, maybe 8-year-old Richard Herring. Today I want to premiere a more sophisticated work written by the 9-year-old me. It's perhaps a little derivative of Enid Blyton, you know her. It's called The Thrilling Three. Perhaps I meant to call it The Thrilling Three, we'll never know. But it's The Thrilling Three is what we've got. The Thrilling Three were inspired by me and my friends Angus Ashman and Tim. I like the fact that I give Angus Ashman's full name throughout the story, but only Tim's first name, because I don't know what his surname was. After I'd written the first chapter, he annoyingly moved to Bristol, which could have destroyed the Thrilling Three before they'd even started. Instead, creative genius that I was, I incorporate that into the story, you'll see. It's an incredible tale of murder and mayhem. It's lain unproduced in a drawer like a Nabokov novel for over 3 decades. But we're going to perform it now, exactly as written. Emma, I'm afraid there are no girls in the story because, of course, girls smell and have fleas.
That's right, they do.
And what else?
Nothing.
Read the script. Read it!
We are all whores.
Yes, you are. So anyway, you can be the narrator. Dan, you're the main actor in the show, I like to think. I'd love to. You were in Miranda this week.
Thank you very much.
I hope you can do as well as you did on that. I'd love to see your portrayal of... I'd love to see your portrayal of second-in-command Angus Ashman. And Christian, you can't really do anything but play a guitar, so you can play peripheral character Tim, who moves to Bristol at the end of the first chapter. It's sounding quite long, isn't it, already, the first chapter? Let's see how it goes. Off we pop.
The Thrilling Three by Richard Herring. Chapter 1, The Club. There was once a boy called Richard Herring who had a friend called Angus Ashman. He also had a friend called Tim. One day, Richard said to Angus and Tim,
Let's form a club.
And Angus said,
yes, let's.
So they did, and Dikeyed to call it the Thrilling Three. Tim asked,
have we got a meeting place?
Richard said,
I have a shed we could clean up, but its door has been knocked out. I will show it to you.
Richard took them to his hut.
I think we should work very hard on it and could get quite a good hut.
So they worked very hard until it was finessed. Soon they held their first meeting.
First,
said Richard,
who will be the leader? Who thinks Angus?
Richard put his hand up.
Who thinks Tim?
No one put up their hand.
Me?
Said Richard. Angus and Tim put their hand up.
Well, I am the leader. Who will look after the money we might collect?
Angus,
said Tim.
I think so too,
said Richard.
Now, what could Tim be?
I don't want to be anyone,
he said. Chapter 2. Bad news.
Yeah, chapter 1 is quite short, I'll give you that. In it, I perhaps arrogantly envision myself becoming leader of this fictional group of kids. Tim of so little significance that he doesn't want to be anyone, not even himself.
Yeah, and so far Angus has only said, yes, let's. While you and Tim have, you know, had quite a lot of lines.
Yeah, you don't want to worry about that. Things really move on in chapter 2.
Oh, right, oh, okay.
I think the author of this has seen Angus as kind of mysterious figure. The reader's thinking, whoa, what's going on with Angus? Quite quiet. Wonder if there's some hidden depths to this. We'll see what's going to happen next. I'm going to find a bit more about him. Emma, carry on reading now, chapter 2.
They went on with their meeting and decided their password would be licorice. They called the meeting off and went home. The next day was Monday, and Tim said to Angus and Richard,
I have got to go to Bristol.
And so he would not be able to come to the meetings. Soon, Richard had an idea.
Let's write letters to you, then keep in touch.
That's a good idea,
said Tim.
All right, we will do that.
Chapter 3. A case already.
Yeah, chapter 2, also quite a short chapter.
Yeah, but so much happened in those. There was the pass with the licorice thing, the Tim moving to Bristol.
Yeah, I mean, a lot happens for Tim and Richard. Yeah. Not too much for Angus there. Didn't really figure too much, given he's the treasurer. You know, you think he'd have more to say, really, wouldn't he? I feel my character would.
Don't be needy about it, Dan. Tim's gone now. It's just you, Angus Ashman, and me, the leader, Richard Herring. So it should be fun.
Tim left to Bristol, and Richard wrote letters telling about. Once they sent a badge of the club. Tim always wrote back.
Tim, Richard, Tim. Is there any sign of anger?
Shh. Nothing happened until 31st December 1976 at night. 10 minutes before midnight, a murder was committed. The murder had taken place just outside Richard's house, so Richard's mum and dad were suspected.
It's true.
It's a good story. And so were all the people in Richard's road.
Yeah, not anyone outside the road, though. They
Why would they be? But Richard found Angus and told him about it.
Come on, let's see if we can find any clues.
Angus doesn't actually say anything,
no,
I notice.
He's busy looking for clues. Right. If only the actor playing him was as focused and diligent as Angus Ashman was being. It's the second main part in the story. Stop complaining about it. It's a good story.
And looked and saw a faint chalk mark saying B.H. When they saw it, they couldn't make it out. Unless Richard's mum was guilty.
So I should explain, because my mum's name's Barbara Herring, so that would fit, BH would fit with the clues. But if you look in the book, it's quite confusing. It's written like B, and the dot's a bit bigger than you'd think for a full stop. And then the H looks like it might have something else written underneath it. It's hard. That might be significant. You might find out in a second.
B.H was hard to make out, but the next day he saw a N after it. And it looked a bit like a B underneath.
Underneath the H, there was a B underneath there that I hadn't spotted the day before.
B.BN was hard as well.
Sorry, wait a minute, hang on. So this brilliant Richard Herring character you've created from somewhere saw this handy clue conveniently chalked on the ground, which the police had somehow missed.
Yeah, PC Clegg wasn't all that good.
No, then he keeps it to himself, which is illegal. And it wasn't until he went back the next day that he noticed there was an N there as well.
And the N was probably fainter. He was excited about seeing the main bit of the clue. And okay. He didn't... Carry on reading anyway, Emma.
Then he suddenly thought, Bob. He looked closer. Bob Nass.
That's right, so the whole name was written there all the time. And he only just...
He had to look closer and he had to look closer.
I'm going to go on a limb here. Like, Richard Herring of the Thrilling Three is a shit detective.
Sharp, Dan. He's better than Angus Astrum, isn't he? What's Angus Astrum?
Well, I know. I mean, Angus is a useless character.
There's a bit with Angus in it coming up.
Really? Oh, good. Yeah, it's good. Right.
He had a clue, but one problem. 2 B. Nass in cheddar. They asked them their names. Bob L. Nass. Bob T. Nass.
Maybe they should go back and look at the chalk to see if that was written. Maybe that was written in between.
Maybe it was. Which one could it be? Then the police found the clue. By the time they worked it out, Richard and Angus had found a new clue. Chapter 4. The new clue.
So was that the bit with Angus in it?
Yeah, he helped find the clue. It's good.
Tim had heard all the news and came to stay for a holiday.
Tim's back, is he? All right.
I can't believe you're being so childish and churlish about it. Angus is a brilliant part. There's kids in Africa who would love to play Angus. I'd love, Angus is a better character than I'm playing boring old leader, getting all the clues, Richard Herring. He's boring. I'd rather.
Do you want to swap?
No, I can't. It's too late now.
Tim had found on the ground a gun. It was a pistol.
All right, okay. Right, so Tim's back. Straight away, he finds the murder weapon on the ground where it had laid untouched by the police. And Richard Herring and useless mute Angus fucking Ashman. Or maybe Angus is too involved with counting up all the money that the Thrilling Three had failed to earn.
What? Shush, Dan. This is a suspenseful bit. You're spoiling... There's people are carried away by this.
It's like paradox.
They are. They're wrapped by it. They can't wait.
One of the men they had suspected was creepy, and they thought... and they thought he had a gun.
It's not going where you think it's going.
This was the one called Bob T. Nass. But they had a speakel kit to tell the fingerprints. So they took the fingerprints and found it wasn't Bob Nass, it was Billy Nass. And he was questioned.
What? Where did Billy Nass suddenly come from? The clue said Bob Nass. So that whole first clue was shit.
Shut up, it's not meant to make sense. It's like The Usual Suspects or Twin Peaks or something.
It's like Inglourious Bastards. That's what it is. Bullshit.
Billy Nass is about to speak.
Can I play him?
No. Not after all the fuss you've made. Emma's playing. She hasn't even done a part in the whole thing.
Oh, I know why he said me.
Why?
Richard said. I did it! And he ran because he thought the police were behind Richard and Angus. Angus said...
Hey. Angus said what? Angus? Has Angus got another line?
Yeah, Mr. Complainy, he does, so get acting. Let's go after him. There you go. Look at that, first line of dialogue to get actual applause there. It's very important line. Without that, we'd have just stood watching Billy Nass run away.
Yeah. Chapter 5. The chase begun. The man stopped and looked back. I can't see anyone. Then he saw something move and ran on. Now it came to parts where you could get out. He got out and shut the trap door.
Now what? What happens next?
Nothing. The story ends there. It was so good. I must have got bored, or you just didn't know what to do with the trap doors that suddenly appeared. I'm in the book. I just move on to my next story, the detectives.
No. What happens to Billy Nass? Do the Thrilling Three catch him, or does he kill them? What will become of Angus Ashman? Does he have anything else to say for himself? I can't bear the fact I'll never know. Why?
It's a compelling tale from the young Herring.
Please finish the story, Richard.
I can't do that, Dan. The past is a foreign country, and the young Richard Herring's a different person to me.
No, you're not. You're just older.
No, for me to complete his meisterwork would be like someone who wasn't Douglas Adams writing a new Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy book, just so they could make huge amounts of money, the cunts. The young Richard Herring decided the adventure should end on that cliffhanger, and I have to respect his artistic vision.
As it occurs to me, reduced to dramatising, misspelled chuckings of a nine-year-old child. Oh, that's pitiful.
Used up 8 pages of script. I'm not complaining. So now we're turning to the audience. Our lovely audience. There's a lot of people in tonight, which is great. Please do come if you're at home and haven't seen yet. 2 more shows to go. Has anything occurred to anyone in our audience? Just hands up if you've got a great story to tell from your... There's a gentleman here. What's happened to you this week, sir?
I uploaded a video to YouTube.
Yeah, you uploaded a video to YouTube. It's a documentary called Legend of Mattress. You're just using this as an attempt to publicise your stupid student film you've done. Legend of Mattress. Is that it? That's it. There'll be people from fucking Heinz in the audience that's going, oh, I had some Heinz baked beans. Yeah, everyone at home should try them. You owe me £500 for that. That advert. Anyone else got... Yeah, what's...
I had some Heinz baked beans.
You had some Heinz baked beans. You're good. I like you. I like this side of the audience. And there was a guy over there. Well, yeah, you in the jumper you got for last Christmas. What happened to you? Sorry.
I was going to copy his joke, but he done it before.
I was going to copy his joke, but he'd done it before. It's the 9-year-old Richard Herring. If you're going to copy it, then he would have had to have done it before, wouldn't he? Touché. And there's a very attractive young woman in the audience, which is an unusual thing in itself. Let her speak. Let her speak.
There was a mouse behind my fridge.
There was a mouse behind your fridge.
I heard it scratching and squeaking, so I pulled the fridge out.
Yeah.
And it ran out, and I screamed. And I stood on a chair.
So what you're doing is conforming to female stereotypes here. She pulled the fridge out, the mouse came out, she screamed and jumped on a chair. You are a very pretty woman, so that's what you have to do. In that case, but most of the women in the audience would have stood just stamped on the mouse. It's the 21st century now, that's what you'd have stamped on you. Take that, Tiny Tim. Good. Well, it's been an exciting time in the audience where genuinely slightly scary moments. So, what, anything else happened to you, Dan? Have you got another?
I know you're very rude about my career. I remember last week I mentioned I went for an embarrassing audition as a journalist number one in a drama about the Suffolk Strangler.
Yeah.
I only got it.
You got the part?
Yes.
That's what they wanted.
Journalist one. Yes.
They wanted it.
I was the least shit.
Who's done the murders, but do you know who's done the...
I think it was that reading that must have... He's got something different. He's unlike anything we've ever seen. He's... Yeah.
Now they've heard your Angus Ashman. Who knows where we'll be going next?
Going up there with naval officer on Miranda and angry fairground man after you've gone. It's a roller coaster.
What about you, Emma? Any extras?
Well, I was having lunch with someone off the telly. Obviously, as you know by now, I don't name names. And she was talking about... Oh, I've given the sex away. Well, it doesn't matter. And she was talking about that thing about, you know, when you have young fans coming up to you in awkward places.
Yeah.
And she was in the toilet and some young people came up and said, oh, we love you, we love your show. And she said, thank you very much. And then she went into the toilet, but she had to do a poo. But it wouldn't flush. So she stayed for ages in the toilet just thinking, I can't let my fans see my own shit. I just can't. And so she did that thing of having to pile lots of paper on it. But then she followed up with a brilliant story, which is of someone she was at school with when they were a teenager. They really fancied this boy, and they're at this party, and sort of the same thing happened, and she did the poo in the toilet, and she knew that this boy she really fancied was immediately outside the toilet, and it wouldn't flush away. So she actually scooped the poo out of the toilet and threw it out the window. But didn't realise that there was a patio and there were people sitting there just having a really nice lunch. And all she heard were these screams. She's like, who the fuck is Sean? He's throwing shit at us!
Are you sure this was an actress friend, Emma Kennedy?
Yes.
She's got an awful lot more stories about actresses and shit than any... When you're an old woman, it's
good. I can't help it. It just like follows me. I'm like pig pen.
Yeah. So, anyway, let's move on. Here's another celebrity endorsement.
Hello, it's me, Osama bin Laden from off of 9/11. Okay, yeah, I just thought it up. I wasn't in one of the planes. I'm not a fucking idiot. Enjoy the 74 virgins, suckers. Anyhow, everyone is always wanting to know, where am I? Where is he hiding? Where is naughty little Osama? Well, on Monday nights, I am here, safely ensconced at the plutonium mine in the Leicester Square Theatre, where all the normal human beings are scared away by a fat idiot and a strange hobbity woman, constantly threatening to expose their genitals or have sexual congress. But while I've been here, I've listened in, and, you know, some of the stuff is it's okay. You know, it's not as good as, some of the other stuff that he's done, but I like it, it's good. You know, I love it when the meerkat says simples. That's very good.
Yeah. That's kind of, so that bit is, you're not meant to like it. It's taking the piss out of people who like people saying simples. It's not meant to be funny. Everyone seems to just like it. So that's going to sit. We can just use other people's catchphrases.
Yeah.
Try and garlic bread. Try and get laughs off them.
Garlic bread! His father was surprised.
Thursday.
After the podcast on Thursday, Andrew Collings and me had to record ourselves saying lots of rude words for a brand new Collings and Herring profanity application for the iPhone, which is coming out, which a swear word generator will create a three-word insult like atrocious fecal thundercat. Thundercat? Yeah, now it's getting pretty rude. I'm going to leave it. An atrocious fecal thundercat. It's Lion-O covered in shit. He was outside on the patio, so... which will be read out in the voices of me and I Love 1983's Andrew Collings, should be available to download for all iPhone-loving idiots before Christmas. I sat in my attic alone, and I had to read out hundreds of disjointed expletives like clumsy, jizz-faced shit magician or tubby, grubby fucknut, and thought, has it really come to this? Is this what I do now? Is this any job for a 42-year-old man? I should be a headmaster by now, not swearing on my own in an attic into a computer. But when it came to Andrew Collings' turn to read out the words, he got cold feet.
Oh, dear. I'm not sure about this. There are some very rude words on it. It's a bit profane.
Well, that's because it's a profanity application. That's the whole point of it, to create profane phrases randomly, like Thundercat.
I didn't like them. You could see that. Chitara's funny. Not everything can be gold. Anyway, look at these words, though, Richard. I don't think I'm comfortable with saying the word shaft licker. You know, shaft licker is not something I'd ever say.
Well, you just said it just now.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want people to hear me, Andrew Collings, saying, you know, bucket fanny or dog fucker. I don't mind saying the things that aren't profane, but I think it would disappoint all the fans of my Radio Times film page if they heard me saying labia.
But people will be paying to download an application in which they will want to hear you saying labia and dick splash.
No. I will never say dick splash. No one will ever hear those words coming out of my mouth in my distinctive voice.
It's pathetic. You won't even say, that's not even rude, dick splash.
No, it is. It is too rude.
I know it's the ones that you haven't crossed out on your list. You happen to say thrush captain.
Yes, I am. There is nothing wrong with thrush captain.
Your distinction between things that are offensive and things that aren't is arbitrary at best. And this, along with your mortgage-based lottery win distribution system, proves it is you, not I, Collings, who is mentally ill. You're a repellent, energy-draining brotherfucker. You're a weird, paunchy anus. Once this application is ready, I'm just going to set my phone to ring you up repeatedly and tell you, in my voice, what a vile, grubby clit face you are.
I am all of those things. Why don't you write a sketch about how stupid I am for AI Ottoman? AI Ottoman. Oh, thank you.
Don't join in when he does it.
And then I could be in it and I could play it myself.
You will never be on my show.
Blink! I just want to be on the podcast. Let me on the podcast.
You will never... It's not going to happen. You'll never be on the podcast.
Well, I brought tickets for the last one, so, I'll be there if you need me.
I won't need you. You're not... I don't want you on the podcast.
Oh, look, I've dropped a marble into a colander. I wonder what noise that would make if it was spinning round.
You can't have the sound effect. That's only I have that sound effect. That's my sound effect. It doesn't work for you.
Please let me be on the podcast.
You hear that, Pope Innocent the 11th? That's the sound of an audience responding via pity. I know you're a Cylon, Collings. I know it. And you're probably a man of thighs as well. Which is why I'm going to have to kill you.
Oh, you stabbed me. Oh, you'll never get away with this.
No one's going to miss you, Collings. And I have an actor who can do your exact voice, so I can carry on doing the podcast. No one will suspect a thing.
Oh, don't worry, Rich. You were right. I am a Cylon, and so I cannot die. I will just download into a new body. I'll be back next week.
So he was a Cylon all along. Maybe that explains the whole Mark Steele thing.
As it occurs to me, winner of the most self-indulgent comedy show of 2009, an accolade it awarded itself.
It is self-indulgent, but he did genuinely refuse to say all those things. Those are the things he genuinely said and wouldn't say. What a fucking twat. And a time for one loss. I just needed to get it off my chest, that's all. Because he has editing power over the other podcast. Anyway, time for one last celebrity endorsement.
Hello, it's me, Subo, Susan Boyle. I am not mental. Do you want to see my cunt? Woohoo! Oh, there it is. Look at the minge. Never been plucked or pruned in my life. If I stand on my head, I look like Brian May eating a selection of cured meats. I have shown you that you don't have to be young or beautiful or sane to get to the top of the hit parade. One ugly old mad person is also a lewd, but only one. I've got the whole ugly old mad person thing covered now. So back off, Herring, and don't even think of releasing a record, or I'll set me hairy clacker on ye. But good luck with topping the iTunes charts with AI on the map. You'll need it. No, leave me alone while I talk to my friends, Carol Vardaman and Richard Whiteley.
Is it just me, or have we turned into a kind of obscene goon show? That was Harry Secombe, wasn't it? So anyway, that's just about the end of another show. I can only apologise if you paid to come and see this. If you want to come and see this live, then there are only two more chances to get down to the Leicester Square Theatre this year. Next week, the show starts at 9:30 instead of 8, as we're following some fella called Stuart Lee or something. Why not come to both shows and try and judge which of us is the funniest? It's going to be like a Lee and Herring smackdown. Him with his structured show and talent, or me with a load of actually mental stuff that I've made up on the day. It'll still be me. So before we end the show, I just want to make an exciting announcement. I was so enjoyed reading about the exploits of the Thryling Three that I decided I'm going to reform the Thryling Three. We're going to come back and solve adventures, not with Tim and old useless Angus Ashman. I'm signing up two new members for the Thryling Three.
You mean?
Yes, Dan. TV's Emma Kennedy and Christian Riley. That's
me, the Thryling Three. What about me? And Emma's in it. I thought girls had fleas.
Oh, grow up, Dan. The flea, being a member of the Siphoneptera species of insects, exists principally on rodents in the mammalian class, and most larger animals that suckle their young are largely free of flea infestation. That's a callback to series one of Fist of Fun, if you're... or if you're a proper fan, back to the mid-1980s at the Oxford Jazz Cellar. Yeah. Oxford University, that's there. Yeah, none of you got that, did you? Call yourself fans...
Anyway, Dan, I said I'd give him a blowy if I could be in it, so...
And I promised him one as well.
Yeah, so that's why then.
Yeah, I do want to be in it, but possibly not that much.
Well, the Thryling Three can, by its very nature, only have three members. I have a shed we can clean up. I think it could be quite a good shed.
Oh, please let me be in the Thryling Three. I just want to be in the Thryling Three. If I am in the Thryling Three.
You can't just say, I am in the Thryling Three. You aren't. If you were in the Thryling Three, you would know the password.
Is it licorice?
Ooh.
The password has been compromised, Thryling Three. We need to move to the second secret password.
Is it Cumpkins?
Damn! No, it isn't.
It was Cumpkins.
Shut up, Harry, it's not.
He must be in the Thrilling Three. He knew it was Cumpkins.
Stop saying Cumpkins. We stopped doing the whole Cumpkins thing. We don't do that anymore.
The countdown thing or the Andrew Collins thing or the roulette wheel
don't
thing.
Don't get sarky with me. No. We don't have sarky people in the Thrilling Three. It's a good, those are good things. It's good to keep them going. Anyway, Thrilling Three, there have been a lot of suspicious deaths in this week's show, I notice. Let's try and find the murderer.
Okay.
It's you.
Shut up. Look, what's that? What's that written in chalk on the floor?
It's a clue.
It is. There's something written. It says Dan Tetzel did it.
Oh.
And he's a Cylon. Kill him. Kill him.
Should we burn him in a wicker man again?
Yeah, all right.
Again?
Yeah. Yeah.
That a bit like what we did last?
No, I don't know. This is a callback. We did it.
You haven't run out of ideas?
I've not run out of ideas.
It's a callback.
It's a callback. I've got loads.
Well, in that case,
I've got plenty of ideas. Good. Goodbye, everyone. Thanks for coming.
Oh, God!
As it occurs to me, Dan Tetzel was played by Angus Ashman.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Thanks for listening. richardherring.com/gigs. gofasterstripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.